Hello and welcome back to another episode. Today we are continuing our real estate series on, and today's topic is how are short-term rentals taxed? Now I know we've been talking a lot about real estate the last couple weeks, and you might be thinking, well, Mike, this is a small business podcast. Why are we talking about real estate? And that's a key thing that I want to let you know is that real estate is so much different oftentimes when it comes to how things are deducted and everything compared to businesses. But real estate is a great vehicle. We've kind of been talking is a great vehicle to help offset, potentially offset some of your business income. So we wanted to touch on this because we think that there's a lot of people that if you're a business owner, there's very likely a chance that somehow you're associated with real estate. So this is just one episode in a series that we're doing on real estate. And if you want to check everything else out, I definitely recommend it to you. We have our ultimate guide to real estate taxes, which you can check out at taxsavingspodcast.com/real estate. But today we're going to be talking about short-term rentals and how the taxation of them may be different than your normal rental property. But before we get started on that, let's also remember that if you rent your personal residence for 14 days or less throughout the year, that's not taxable income to you. And so this is a tax strategy that we talk a lot for business owners. It's an excellent tax planning strategy that we utilize for them to get a business deduction for rental if it's less than 14 days or less of our home. And think of things like shareholders meetings and things like that. So I definitely want to talk about that first. We did a whole podcast episode and blog post on this. You can find more in the show notes. Otherwise, just search what is the 14-day home rental strategy, aka the Augusta Rule. So that's one thing, 14 days or less, not taxable income to you. But let's dig a little deeper. What does the IRS consider a short-term rental? Generally stating, the IRS looks at a short-term rental as one that has an average rental day of 7 or less. And this is an easy calculation. Basically, you take throughout the year the total rental days divided by the number of times it was rented. So for example, if you rented out your property 25 times during the tax year for a total of 150 days. Your average rental would be 6 days. 150 total days divided by 25 rental times equals 6 days. So the IRS generally stating looks at a short-term rental as one that has an average rental period of 7 days or less. Now, what are the different tax treatments for short-term rentals? When the average rental period is 7 days or less, there are two different tax treatments that come into play. And this really depends on if you provide substantial services or not for the rental property. If you provide substantial services, you're going to report that short-term rental as a business on a Schedule C. If you do not provide substantial services, you're going to report it as a rental property on Schedule E. Now, there are pros and cons to each scenario that we will discuss later. However, we first want to outline what substantial services even mean. So you're like, I don't even know if I provide substantial services. Let's talk about what substantial services means. Basically, providing a substantial service means that you are treating it similar to a hotel. You're going above and beyond just a simple occupancy rental. Think of things like cleaning the unit during the stay, providing new sheets during the stay, making the beds, cleaning dishes, maid type service, or other hotel or bed and breakfast type services. If all you're doing is cleaning common areas of the building, collecting trash, etc., that would not be considered substantial services. Think of things like a bed and breakfast or a hotel where you're coming in there periodically and consistently and doing those things. So what are the pros and cons of having a short-term rental on your Schedule C? If your average rental day is 7 days or less and you provide substantial services, you're going to need to report it as a business on your Schedule C. The bad thing about this is that if it produces a profit, that's going to be subject to self-employment taxes. However, you would also be able to use a 20% 199A tax deduction, assuming the other qualifications are met. The good thing about this is that if it produces a loss, you can use that to offset other business income or ordinary income if you do not have any other business income, if you materially participate in the activity. An S corporation may make sense if you fall in this area and the property is producing a significant amount of profit. You want to be careful here though and ensure that you're doing the right thing, as this is one of the only or few areas where we see an S corp make sense with a rental property per se. So you might want to check that out if this short-term rental is providing significant profit. But let's flip the switch and say, what are the pros and cons of having short-term rental on Schedule E? If your average rental is 7 days or less and you do not provide substantial services, you would report that on a Schedule E. And one thing to note is that even though it is a rental property, since it is short-term, the IRS does not qualify it or classify it as a rental activity and thus it's not considered passive. The good thing about this is that it's not subject to self-employment taxes. But since it's not a passive activity, it does not qualify for your typical passive loss rules. This means it does not qualify for the $25,000 active real estate investor rental loss break that we talked about a couple episodes. It does not produce material participation hours to be used to become a real estate professional, and it cannot be grouped with other long-term rentals. However, the great thing about them is that if you are able to prove that you materially participate in the activity, you are able to claim any losses against non-passive income. This is business income, W-2 income, etc. To materially participate, there are 7 tests that you can meet, but the most common we see are the main three ones. Number one is you participated in an activity for more than 500 hours. Your participation, number two, is your participation was substantially all the participation in the activity of all individuals for the tax year, including non-owner participation. And option number three is you participated in the activity for more than 100 hours during the tax year, and you participated at least as much as any other individual. The final piece here is important. Most rental activity losses you cannot apply against regular ordinary income except for short-term rentals, as long as you materially participate. So you're going to want to think about this into a planning opportunity. You know, we talked about active real estate investor. We talked about real estate professional. Those are opportunities where you can apply, utilizing those, you can apply real estate losses. But with a short-term rental, you can also have the opportunity to not have to qualify as a real estate professional. But if you qualify as a short-term rental and you materially participate, you're able to offset some of that W-2 income, some of that other ordinary type income. So this is a great planning opportunity, especially if it's going to be providing losses. Now, one final thing to think about is that if you use this property for personal use, there's going to be other rules that come into play that you're going to want to look into and research more. We talk about that on our tax minimization program as well. So let's do a quick summary. The IRS considers a short-term rental as one that has an average rental days of 7 days or less. Now, there's a couple different tax treatments of short-term rentals, if you provide substantial services or not. Substantial services, think of it as like a hotel or a bed and breakfast where you're just continually making the beds every day, providing sheets, doing regular cleaning throughout the stay, versus non-substantial services, you know, you clean it when the person leaves or something like that. If you provide substantial services, you're going to report this as a business on a Schedule C. Now, the big downfall to this is that if you produce a profit, it's going to be subject to self-employment taxes. But you are able to use that income then to offset other income of yours, including ordinary income, if you materially participate. And if you have a short-term rental that's creating big profits because you don't have depreciation, or if you used up all your depreciation and it's on your Schedule C because you provide substantial services, you may want to look into an S corporation. That might be an option for you. But if you have a short-term rental of 7 days or less and you do not provide substantial services, you're going to report it on a Schedule E. Now, the one thing is that although it's a rental property, the IRS does not classify it as rental activity. Because of that, it's not considered passive. So the good thing there is it's not subject to self-employment taxes. The bad thing is by not being considered passive, you know, that $25,000 for an active real estate investor, it doesn't qualify under that. The hours and activity you put into it does not produce material participation hours if you want to become a real estate professional. And it cannot be grouped with other long-term rentals. So that's the downfall to it. But the great thing about this is that if you can prove that you materially participated in it, you can claim any losses that you have from your short-term rental against other non-passive income, business, W-2, etc. Now, when we talk about this materially participation, there's 7 tests that the IRS has, but the two most common that we see most often is number one, you participated in the activity for more than 500 hours for the tax year. So more than 500 hours materially participated. Number two is that you participated in the activity for more than 100 hours during the tax year, plus you participated at least as much as any other individual, including non-owners. So those are the two that we see people most commonly use. So again, this is a great opportunity if it makes sense in your scenario where you can use a short-term rental loss to offset other types of income as long as you materially participate and everything lines up. So this is definitely something that you want to look into, and you want to be making sure that, hey, if you have a short-term rental, make sure you're treating it properly, because it is treated differently than your traditional longer-term rentals. Now, again, this is just one episode in a whole series that we're doing on real estate. If you haven't checked out our other ones or you want to check out future ones, you can go and grab our ultimate guide to real estate taxes. You can go to taxsavingspodcast.com/real estate to access that. And I also want to mention our tax minimization program. Within our tax minimization program, it's a journey that we take business owners on from paying too much in taxes all the way to paying the least amount in taxes as legally possible. This is a journey. This is a roadmap that we take them on to ensure that they get to that point. As part of that program and membership, we have a library of tax strategies, videos, implementation guides, downloads. We have a bookkeeping training program. And then we have a couple bonuses. One of my favorite is our Ask a Pro, which gives you unlimited email access to our team for those general accounting and tax questions. So kind of think of it like having an accountant in your back pocket. We're here to answer these questions along this journey for you. We also do monthly group trainings. We have a partner network and so much more. So if you're interested in joining our tax minimization program, check it out now. Go to taxsavingspodcast.com/tax. We are also running a promotion right now that if you sign up today, you're going to get access to our Small Business Tax Savings Summit. That's something we put on in June. This June, it was a 2-day virtual event. We have all the recordings in there. So you get access to our 2022 Small Business Tax Savings Summit recordings if you sign up. So again, you can check that out at www.taxsavingspodcast.com/tax. I want to thank you again for listening to another episode. We're going to continue. We have just a couple more episodes and a guest that we're going to be talking about real estate to kind of bring all of these ideas home for us. And so we're going to be, we have a couple more episodes left for that. Again, thank you for listening to another episode, and I will see you all next week.